Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I just wanted to do a quick video about the Ukrainian invasion of the Kursk region of Russia, because this is firstly for me extremely fascinating. From a military point of view, there are many fascinating things about this. And then, on a bigger scale, even the mass media and proper military experts in the Western world, nobody can answer the question as to why the Ukrainians did this. The Ukrainians themselves have said a few things. But I don't think anyone is really telling the full story. And the full story is very likely only known to the Ukrainian high command. Only the leaders of Ukraine know the real reason. Nobody else does. So the region that's been invaded on that map there is the yellow area. And the blue lines are the Ukrainians as they've moved around since they invaded. At the time that I'm making the video, the Ukrainians have been busy with this since the 6th of August, and that makes it 19 days. We are on the edge of 3 weeks into this. The first thing I want to quickly deal with is a topic that many people have brought up when they talk to me about the Ukrainians and the Russians, and they say to me that the Russians are winning. But I just want to make a few things clear. The Ukrainian population at the time of the Russian invasion was about 43 to 44 million people. The population of Russia is 144 million people. But large numbers of people fled from Ukraine after the invasion, and we don't know exactly how many people are in Ukraine. But the best estimates that I can get that I think are the most solid is 30 to 32 million people are still in Ukraine. So the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is that if you divide 144 million by 30 million or 32 million, that you find that the average Ukrainian is outnumbered by the Russians almost 5 to 1. Almost 5 to 1. Before the war, it was about 3.5 to 1. So the first thing that I want to say to people who are always saying, oh, the Russians are just going to crush them, that's the end, etc. The thing that you need to understand about the Russians is that the Russians aren't such good soldiers. The Russians are not as fantastic as they're cracked up to be. And I want to return in other videos to the Russians versus the Germans in World War II, because there are a lot of similarities between then and now. The Russians, for a long, long time in their history, have relied on simply winning through numbers. They use numbers and huge amounts of artillery, and that's how they win. So even when they are not good soldiers, they win through sheer persistence until they break their enemy. But if the Russians were as good as the Russians claim they are, then with them outnumbering the Ukrainians more than 4 to 1, you're looking at like about 4.5 to 1, maybe even a bit more. With the Russians having a nation state that has got more than 4 times the population of present day Ukraine, 4 to 1, the Russians should have conquered Ukraine long ago and it should have been over. In fact, the Russians were all over Ukraine in the first week of the war. The Russians were even on the outskirts of Kiev itself. They were even inside the suburbs of Kiev. And then the Ukrainians, with a massive effort and a little bit of handheld weapons to use against tanks, managed to drive the Russians out of most of Ukraine. They managed to regain a huge chunk of Ukraine, against all expectations by the West, I might add. People forget that cities like Kharkiv, which is the second biggest city in Ukraine, was totally conquered by Russia in 2022. And within a month or two of the war starting, the Ukrainians chased all the Russians out of Kharkiv and out of most of the rest of the country. And to me, it's been clear from the beginning that when it comes to man-to-man quality, the average Ukrainian soldier fights better than the average Russian soldier. One thing that comes through clearly from all the military statistics, even right up to now, is that on average, one Ukrainian is worth two Russians. One Ukrainian is worth two Russians. So the Russians have got a lot more power than the Ukrainians, but the Ukrainians, despite being quite massively outnumbered, the Ukrainians pack a big punch for their weight. Another thing I learned about the Ukrainians from people who deal directly with Ukrainians is that the Ukrainian army is actually one of the oldest armies I've ever come across. I don't think there's an army in the world where the men are as old as in the Ukrainian army. I heard from a Bulgarian friend of mine that the average age of the Ukrainian soldiers is 40 years old. That is even older than the average age of men in World War II, which was about 32 years old in World War II. It's actually quite amazing that this is an army of middle-aged and older men who are actually fighting a war, a full-scale war. One thing I always admire in war is quality over quantity, and the Ukrainians win hands down on that. Even if the Ukrainians lose, I would still admire the Ukrainians for the kind of fight that they've put up. So yes, the demographics, the economics, everything is against the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians should be losing. It is therefore quite amazing that they've survived as long as they have. So yes, if the Ukrainians are left alone and the Russians can beat up on them, then this could carry on for 5 years or 10 years until the Ukrainians finally lose. But the Ukrainians are showing a lot of life and a lot of energy against somebody who in theory should have wiped the floor with them long ago. The next thing that I want to just discuss is the Russian threats to the West and to Ukraine and the red lines that the Russians have drawn. From the beginning of this war, Putin, as well as other Russians in high positions, have made threats several times that if the Ukrainians do this, if the West does that, that the next thing is going to be nuclear war. Nuclear war was the most important threat that came up. When the Ukrainians got weapons from the British, from the Americans and others, most of those weapons came with all kinds of rules that the Ukrainians are not allowed to do certain things with those weapons, or else they would not be given weapons in the future. So the Ukrainians have had to take weapons and only use them in certain ways because America and the West were all scared of these Russian threats and all the kinds of things that Putin said he was going to do. But as time has gone by, the Ukrainians have flouted more and more of these rules, and they seem to have been able to talk the West into easing up on those rules and allowing them to do more and more with the weapons. However, even right now, there are weapons that the Ukrainians are not allowed to use inside Russia. The ATACMS is an incredibly potent American weapon. It's like HIMARS on steroids, And HIMARS is itself already a very impressive weapon. And there are weapons like these that the Ukrainians are not allowed to use in Russia. America has forbade the use of those weapons in Russia, even now. And an interesting thing I came across is that the Americans seem to even currently be thinking in terms that they do not want to anger the Russians more because the Americans seem to want to negotiate with the Russians at some time in the future. So there is another interesting weakness from America. Therefore, when it comes to the use of these weapons, we must keep in mind that for a large portion of this conflict, lots of weapons were restricted in their uses, and that the Ukrainians had weapons that they could fight with inside Ukraine, but they weren't allowed to use those weapons on Russian soil. I don't know the full list of weapons that can't be used on Russian soil, but it seems to me a lot of American weapons might just fall into that category. I think the Germans have now allowed German tanks to be used on Russian soil, and the British have allowed that too. So the Ukrainians have got weapons, but they've got restrictions on what they can do. So they can't do all the things they want to do. Now let's get into the mystery issue. Why is Ukraine doing this? There are many theories that are now being put forward. The Ukrainians themselves have said that they want to create a buffer zone between themselves and Russia. There have been others who've said that the Ukrainians are capturing land inside Russia so that when it comes to doing a peace deal, that they can swap Russian territory for Ukrainian territory. These are all the kinds of theories that have been floated, but I don't believe any of them. Another thing about this invasion is that this thing was very secret. It seems as if the Ukrainians definitely did not tell anyone, including the United States, including anybody in Europe or Britain. This Ukrainian attack is definitely totally secret. And it may well be because in the past they spoke to Americans and others and then discovered that there were leaks from anonymous American officials to the New York Times, etc. So this thing was done in total secrecy. And this thing is a Ukrainian plan that probably only the Ukrainian leadership, only the very top Ukrainian leadership knows why they've done this. A couple of months ago, the commander of the Ukrainian army, Zaluzhny, was replaced by a guy called Sirsky. And the initial information that all of us got about Sirsky is that he's not liked by the troops, that he's a hard-driving guy. He's going to cause soldiers to lose their lives. He's not liked, and he's a hard-driving guy. Zaluzhny, who was extremely popular in Ukraine, and apparently he's so popular that he could even become the president of Ukraine. Ukrainians have stated this. Zaluzhny was very concerned about the casualties of his army, but Sirsky seems to be a tougher guy. But he does not seem to be anywhere as bad as the initial stories that we were told. I am seriously wondering whether this plan that is going down now, perhaps this plan was thought up by Sirsky and that this is a Sirsky initiative, because this sounds like the kind of thing that he would probably think up. When this invasion started, nobody knew exactly how many troops were involved. I'll discuss that shortly. But it's become clear that from a Ukrainian perspective, that this is a very important operation. the Ukrainians seem to, at this point, have pulled in at least 10,000 troops in order to do this. Not only have they pulled in at least 10,000 troops, but they seem to have pulled in their most elite units. At this very same time, the Russians are actually making some of their best gains inside Ukraine that they've ever made since the battle lines had become stable in the last 2 years. The Russians are having their greatest successes that they've had in about 2 years. And the Ukrainians have got some important towns that they could lose. And those towns are quite important. They're not critically important, but they're quite important. And losing those places would hurt Ukraine. So therefore, the question becomes, why are the Ukrainians launching this attack and bringing their best troops into this attack at a time when they desperately need to counter the Russians inside Ukraine? Why are they doing this? Why are they taking much needed men and equipment, especially their best men, and throwing it into this thing at a time when they really, really need men to defend there in the Donbass? The closest answer to this question that I've found is there is a British military professor that I have a lot of respect for. And that British military professor pointed out that the Russians could achieve one of their greatest victories in 2 years shortly, within about a month, if the Ukrainians continue with this fight. That the Russians are advancing and they should be able to capture an important town. It's a town of about 60,000 people. And they've evacuated the people in the town. They are preparing for the town to be attacked by the Russians. The British professor said that he thinks that what is going down is that the Russians have made a high-level decision and the Ukrainians have made a high-level decision. And the Russian high-level decision is to fight on for that particular town that they want to conquer. The Ukrainians are throwing their main forces into this fight inside Russia. And this professor says that we will only know in the coming months or by the end of the year as to who backed the winning horse. Whose decision was the best decision? He thinks that this is what it's going to boil down to. Because if the Ukrainians have made the wrong decision, the Ukrainians might have gained some territory in Russia that might be worthless, but they could lose stuff inside Ukraine that is important. The piece of territory that the Ukrainians have captured is over 1,000 square kilometers. But in terms of size, it's not even a fraction of the amount of territory that the Russians have captured inside Ukraine. However, the war has bogged down in the last 2 years, and the battle lines don't move much. So the interesting thing is that what the Ukrainians have done in less than 3 weeks is equal to the amount of territory that the Russians or the Ukrainians could capture in an entire offensive in the summer. So what is happening is the Ukrainians are capturing territory at a very fast pace. The Ukrainians are capturing territory at the fastest pace they've captured since the war got bogged down. The Ukrainians are almost capturing at the kind of pace that the Russians captured territory at originally. Originally, the Russians were capturing territory even faster than this. But for the Ukrainians, this is their fastest advance in 2 years. So that may also provide a key to what's going on. Let me tell you my thinking about what's really going on both sides. The one thing is, I have pointed out before that Putin might be going after Ukraine for the fact that Ukraine has got massive mineral resources. There are huge gas fields in Ukraine, and a lot of this stuff is sitting in the Donbass. Ukraine has got minerals and gas that's worth trillions of dollars. So I am convinced that the real game going on here for the Russians is that all this other stuff about Russia and NATO and Russians being badly treated in Ukraine, that's all propaganda and nonsense. Putin's real goal is to seize things worth trillions that he can use economically. And that is why Putin is so keen to continue fighting in the Donbass, because he's fighting for a goal, which is a mineral goal, and it's worth trillions and trillions, and he's getting closer and closer to getting it all. As it is already, he controls a huge chunk of Ukraine's mineral resources even now. So if Putin is going for something that's got real value, huge real value, then why are the Ukrainians going and capturing this territory? Does this territory have value? To my knowledge, this territory does not have any special value. It might not even have a really important value. But what I think is going on is that we are watching a military experiment. Let me explain why I think this and what the military experiment is and why the Ukrainians are willing to throw so much into this. Because to me, this is the only thing that really makes sense about this whole issue. In May 2023, something new appeared on the scene. It was called the Russian Volunteer Corps. I've also heard the term the Free Russian Legion. But these, let's call it Free Russians, were Russians who had switched sides to fight for Ukraine. And they were put together as their own military unit. And they were the first people from Ukraine to officially invade Russia. So when they went into Russia, it wasn't Ukrainians going into Russia, it was, quotes, free Russians going into Russian territory. And so the Ukrainians said, well, there are no Ukrainians in Russia. I think that was a lie, but it doesn't matter. The point is that for most propaganda purposes, everybody bought into that. In May and June of 2023, this group raided into Russia. They launched a raid into Belgorod Oblast, and then they also did another raid into Shebekino in Volgograd. And then in March of this year, March of 2024, they conducted another raid into Belgorod and another raid into Kursk, and they claimed to have controlled two villages. Now, the raid that they did in May of 2023 lasted a couple of days. I am certain from other things that the Ukrainians have got soldiers who have moved far, far, far beyond the Russian lines and deep into Russia physically. The Ukrainians, I'm convinced, have got special forces who've moved far into Russia quietly, and nobody knows about it. There was a video I saw early in the war where a soldier was standing outside Belgorod, and he was smiling to himself as he was being filmed. So this Ukrainian was probably part of a special forces team, and they probably have many teams that have snuck into Russia and maybe even into other places that we don't know about. Clandestine stuff like that sounds like normal military special forces. But what makes the Free Russian attacks of interest is that they went into Russia. It was openly acknowledged. They went in with vehicles. They fought inside Russia and they captured a couple of villages and they stuck around for a couple of days. They fought Russians. They got through the border. They fought local Russian defenders. They captured a village or two. They stuck around for a while. Then they got out. They probably got out because the Russians probably came and attacked them and they could see that they needed to get out. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I am quite certain that based on what the Ukrainians have done in the past, especially with these Russian volunteers, that the Ukrainians learned huge amounts of things about the Russians from those raids. They learned about how do the Russian defenses really work, how good are the Russians, what are the Russians' strengths and weaknesses. They must have concluded from these raids and from their information and from various other fights, they must have concluded that the Russians are not that good at defending their territory. There's also another particular operation that took place that people have forgotten about, and that is that at a point, a lot of Russian aircraft were coming close to the border with Ukraine, and they were launching missiles into Ukraine from this very area. And then what the Ukrainians did was the Ukrainians moved a lot of top-notch anti-aircraft weaponry very close to their border. And they then lured the Russian Air Force into flying into this area again. I think that they sent their own aircraft to lure the Russian aircraft close. And when the Russian aircraft came close, the Ukrainians fired missiles and shot down a bunch of these aircraft. This also happened, I think, last year. So what it boils down to is that the Ukrainians may have learned a whole bunch of things, not only about the ground, but also about the distances which they can control the airspace as well as the ground into Russia. They may therefore have looked at all this information that they've gathered, and they may have come up with a theory. And the theory that I think they've come up with is something like this. The Ukrainian counteroffensive last year was a flop. The Ukrainian counteroffensive did not achieve a fraction of the goals that they hoped it would achieve because the Russians had planted insane amounts of landmines, built tons of trenches, lots of defenses, and so it didn't matter what the Ukrainians did. The Ukrainians found that even with Western tanks and Western weaponry, they couldn't really break through the Russian lines inside Ukraine the way the American generals had told them they could. And that the Ukrainians have found that the Russians have got defenses that are far too deep and complex for them to actually defeat. And that for the Ukrainians, they can't really attack the Russians and drive the Russians back. And for me, I did mention quite a while ago that I thought the best option for the Ukrainians would be for them to slowly retreat, to rather go totally on the defensive and stay on the defensive, try and hold the defensive, and if they lose ground, then they rather lose slowly. And this would make sense because the Ukrainians just don't have the raw manpower to throw into the fight the way the Russians do. The Russians don't have a problem with taking body bags home. So how do you fight an enemy when you are slowly losing? Is there a way to fight when you are slowly losing? Because to lose slowly, the benefit of losing slowly is that you don't lose much in the way of men. So losing slowly makes a lot of military sense because You lose slowly, but you don't lose lots of men. But how then do you win? The Ukrainians have been using drones and all kinds of attacks all over Russia as an attempt to try and maybe create a new front, and it's worked well. But it's clearly not enough to stress the Russians out. And this may be where this invasion comes in, that what's happening is that the Ukrainians might be trying a military experiment. And the experiment is this. You attack the Russians in a place where the Russians are not ready. You go in and you grab a chunk of territory. It doesn't matter how big the chunk of territory is. You just grab a chunk of territory that you are willing to defend. You grab this chunk of territory and the Russians will have no choice but to come back and to drive you out of their territory. It will look bad for Russia. It will have negative impacts for Russia, etc. But you go in quickly, you seize a chunk of territory, and you begin building your defenses. And then the Russians can win. But it's going to be a slow victory, a slow, bloody victory for the Russians. And the Russians then have to do in that territory the stuff they've been doing in the Donbass. They're going to have to bring in large numbers of Russians, huge amounts of artillery, etc. And they're going to have to fight and slog away slowly to slowly eventually win. But the Ukrainians will have captured the territory for minimal casualties, and then they will just sit back and they will bleed the Russians until eventually the Russians get to the Ukrainian border. And if the Russians want to continue advancing, they can carry on fighting there too. But the point is that they may be carrying out an experiment to see how much territory can they seize, how long can they hold on to it, how long can they bleed the Russians, how many Russians are they going to bleed? And that may be what the real experiment is. Because if this experiment works, then it means there are other places that the Ukrainians can start attacking, that the Ukrainians can start looking at bleeding the Russians in other places, because there's a 1,000-kilometer border, and they could then try and bleed them in other places, and by bleeding them, it starts sucking troops away from Donbass. Putin has got his own manpower issues as well. So it's not like Putin has unlimited number of men. He's been keeping the war a certain size. So I think that this is the real reason why the Ukrainians are doing this. I think that they have looked at the data and that they are sure they've got a plan, and that this plan, if executed, is going to bleed the Russians. In other words, let's call it the bleeding plan. And that the goal is grab a chunk of Russian territory, bleed the Russians as much as possible. And the key thing is to see the metrics that come out of it. The key thing is to see how much territory can we get? How many days can we hold on to this territory? How many troops do we use? How many troops do the Russians need to bring to come and drive us out? And most importantly, how many days or weeks or months does this last? When this thing started, that British military professor, who's spent a lot of time studying the Russians, his initial reaction was that the Russians are not going to tolerate this. The Russians will throw everything they have into this. They will not tolerate this. And that he estimated that this will not last more than a couple of days. Initially, when I was watching this thing, I was writing on my website and I was saying, if they can last 2 weeks or even a month inside Russia, then this is huge. And here we are, almost 3 weeks into this, and not only are they lasting, but they might even be gaining additional pieces of territory every now and then inside Russia. There is one final military move that I just want to mention, and it is that the Ukrainians took a river inside Russia that had three bridges across it, and they went and they blew up all three bridges. And apparently it means that there is another 700 square kilometers of territory inside Russia that the soldiers in there are now cut off. The troops are cut off, and the only way that they can get supplies to them is through pontoon bridges, and the Ukrainians are already attacking the pontoon bridges. But this could open up another potential area if the Ukrainians want more territory. I just want to mention the troop strengths because we don't really know. It turns out that inside Russia, the Russians have pretended that the invasion is a lot smaller than it really is. The Russians say that it's 300 soldiers and 11 tanks. However, everyone else says that the actual number is much bigger, that the original number may have been 1,000 in the beginning, but the West now estimates that it's between 10 to 15,000 troops with at least 600 armored vehicles, but it might even be growing in number. So if it is 10 to 15,000, which seems to be a reasonable reflection of what's going on, then what it means is that the Russians will have to go and match and outclass the Ukrainians maybe 3-1 or more in order to drive the Ukrainians out. The Russians so far seem to have sent in conscripts, border guards, FSB troops, etc., and they've tried to not draw troops from the Donbass. But these troops seem to mostly have been defeated by the Ukrainians, and those troops have not been doing so well. So the goal of the Ukrainians might be that they're going to carry on causing as much mayhem as they can until really important numbers of troops are brought into this region. My final point is that for the Ukrainians to continuously expand this area might not be such a good idea. They probably have an idea of how many troops they really need to hold on to a certain size of territory, and if they make the territory too big, then they may be stretching their own lines too thin. I must also add that not only are the Russians downplaying the number of troops, the Russians have constantly been saying that they've defeated them and that the problem isn't really big and that it's under control. I've even heard that the Russians may have censored this news inside Russia. So the majority of Russians might not even know and realize the extent of this attack. However, the Russians have had to evacuate 144,000 people from the area already, plus there are casualties, etc. There is no question that despite censorship, word inside Russia will over time actually spread. And Russians may with time realize the seriousness of what's going on. But I just want to end by saying that as things stand now, the Russian response has been surprising, that the Russians did not throw all their energy into countering this as they claimed. By the way, I did come across an American mercenary unit that is among the Ukrainians fighting there inside Kursk. The Russians like to pretend that they are fighting the whole of NATO and that they've killed hundreds of NATO generals. Whenever the Russians lose, they always pretend the whole world is there busy fighting them. But that's all just Russian propaganda and overblown Russian screaming. whenever the Russians lose. So this thing, in my view, is a military experiment. It's a tactical experiment. The experiment itself may have many possible additional knock-on benefits. It may have many knock-on benefits, like destroying infrastructure, causing all kinds of problems, morale problems inside Russia. It could allow them to do further actions deeper into Russia, destroying airfields that are important to them, etc. There are many knock-on effects. This can become a buffer zone. But I don't think that any of those things are the key reason for this. I think that there are two issues. I think the first and most important is that this is a military experiment, because if this works, then the Ukrainians can refine this and use this as a type of experiment that can be used on a bigger and bigger scale. And if they can open up a line of combat inside Russia that ends up sucking Russians out of Ukraine, they might at a point be able to draw enough Russians out of Ukraine that they can then do a counterattack. That is probably the long, long-term game. But if these things can draw troops out of, and they can carry on doing this on a bigger and bigger and bigger scale, it actually starts moving the battleground out of Ukraine until they can switch. The Ukrainians could, at a point, take their best troops away from here, switch over, send those troops inside Ukraine, and hit the Russians somewhere else. They could do that in the coming months. So these are the things that I think are the real reasons. The second most important reason that I think is that the Ukrainians want to prove to the West and to America that the Russian red lines are all bluffs, and that you can invade Russia and Russia will not even be able to use a nuclear weapon on you. Because the Russians are allowed by their constitution to use nuclear weapons in defense of Russian territory. And Putin has been threatening nukes endlessly. So this proves to America and the whole of the West that the Ukrainians can do as they please inside Russia, and the Russians themselves know their limitations, and the Russians will not overstep the nuclear boundary. I think those are the two benefits, the two real benefits. But the most important is we could be watching a new military tactic. And if this military tactic is used and works, they are going to refine it. They're going to expand it. They can use it all over the show. They could then start playing all kinds of new games. So there are many, many things that can come out of this. And also, if they move in missiles, etc., they could use this position to launch even more attacks, even deeper into Russia. There's even talk that they might even be able to reach Moscow with some kinds of weapons. The key thing is that Putin has at all times kept his battleground to trying to seize eastern Ukraine, because that is the most important and valuable piece of territory of all. But if the Ukrainians can expand the battlefield and move things to other areas, it brings all kinds of things with it. And finally, when the Russians do finally win, the Russians will have to use huge amounts of artillery, and the Russians will end up destroying Russian territory. They'll end up destroying Russian villages. They will end up destroying and totally flattening all those villages, and all those areas and all the infrastructure in those regions will be totally flattened by Russian artillery as the Russians slowly creep forward in the future. So for the Ukrainians, this is win-win all the way, and the Russians end up with a moonscape on their territory for once. And like I say, for the Ukrainians, this becomes a thing that if the Ukrainians bog the Russians down, They might even be bogging the Russians down in the Kursk region, and then they haul out those troops of theirs, and they might either switch them to Donbass, or they could switch them to attacking another area that's linked to Russia and start the whole process there again. And in this way, they could bog the Russians down. So my final thoughts, as we are almost 3 weeks into this, are the following. This attack has gone far better than I expected. This has gone extremely well. I reckoned if the Ukrainians lasted a month, it would be awesome. But they are not only lasting a month, they are still even managing to advance and fight in that pocket with effect. So this thing is going to be interesting to see how many weeks, but it looks like months, the Russians are going to take in order to get the Ukrainians out of this. Initially, I thought if the Ukrainians could hold on to the pocket for 3 months, that would be really good. When I look at this now, I'm starting to wonder if this could take the Russians 6 months, but what if it takes the Russians even longer? I will tell you, if it takes the Russians 6 months to drive the Ukrainians out, that will be very bad news for Russia. If it takes longer, it will be very, very bad news for Russia. So I'm watching this like a hawk, because we may be watching the invention of a new set of military tactics in modern warfare. I'll keep an eye on this, and I will do updates later. But my initial impression is that the results are outstanding. This is going to work. I think that the Ukrainians might have something that can finally be a real problem for the Russian army, and that as big as Russia is, the Russians are going to find themselves in a serious state. All this talk of peace deals and territory swapping, I don't see it as a big thing. I don't think it's really going to happen. I think the war is going to grind on, but I think the Ukrainians might just have a tactic that is going to help them to survive. In this summer, the Ukrainians have already regained control of the Black Sea. They've chased most of the Russian Navy back to Russian territory. So they have managed to already achieve good stuff in the Black Sea, even where they don't have a fleet. So if they can come up with a military strategy that works for them on land, then they could be on their way to winning. This might just be it. So I'll keep an eye on this thing. This thing fascinates me. Thank you very much for listening today. I hope that you learned something new today. Look after yourselves and take care. We'll be chatting again soon.
Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay.